the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market reported as the 28th day of July 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will be here to help us look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Pete Levitt. And along the way, we'll check the potential change in the corn daily trading limit from 30 to 40 cents. Agricultural economist Scott Irwin will be here. He says it's a reasonable request, and it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
On this Thursday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day lower. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat down 11.5 cents at $6.93 and a quarter today. December at $7.35, down 10.25 cents. In the March at $7.67, down 10. The May futures $7.82 and a quarter, 8 cents lower. Next year's July $7.92 and three quarters, down 6 3/4 from the corn pit in Chicago. $6.82 and a quarter. The settlement price down 9 1/4 cents. December at $6.86 and a quarter, 5 1/4 lower. March at $6.98 and three quarters, down 5 1/4. May at $7.05 and a half, 4 1/2 cents lower. And July $7.11, down 4. December of next year at $6.37 and a quarter, down 3 3/4 of a cent. August soybean futures 8 cents lower at $13.67 and three quarters. September $13.62 and a half, down 9 1/4 cents. November $13.71 and a half, 9 cents lower. January $13.82, down 8 1/2. And July at $13.90 and three quarters, down 6 cents. November of 2012 at $13.43 and a half, a penny lower for the day. August bean meal futures down 50 cents at $3.55.30. August soybean oil 64 cents lower at $55.76. Nearby live cattle futures finished the August contract at $111.62 and a half, up 55 cents for the day. August feeder cattle at $135.80 were 42 1/2 cents higher, and the lean hogs finished at $102.47 1/2 cents, up 55 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Thursday afternoon. We are a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, September contract, $97.41 a barrel, up a penny. Ethanol at $2.99 and 9 tenths of a cent, 6 9 tenths cents lower. Natural gas at $4.24 and a tenth of a cent, down 7 7 tenths. And the heating oil or diesel fuel up 2 3 tenths of a cent. At $3.10 and 6 tenths of a cent. The August soybean, or rather the August gold futures at $1,613.40, down $1.70 in the Dow now at 12,319, up just about 17 points for the day. The dollar at 74.2, up 0.13 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 344.65, down 2.0 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 94 degrees. The heat index up as high as 106. South-southwest winds at about 14 miles an hour. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms after 7 p.m. Partly cloudy, a low of 74. Friday, again, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high near 89 degrees. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 71. And Saturday, sunny, a high near 91. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 69. Sunday, sunny, and a high of 91 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear and a low of 75. By the time we get to Monday, that is, skies will remain sunny, a high near 93 degrees. Monday night, clear and 72. Tuesday, sunny and 92. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again, low of 74. And Wednesday of next week should show us a few showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny skies, a high near 90 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group from Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line to take up the futures markets with us today. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
You've been traveling again this week?
Yeah, I was. Yesterday morning, I spoke with a group of farmers in Tunica, Mississippi. Clients of ours that market their grain into Helena, Arkansas. We have a big terminal down there along the river, and they're getting ready to start combining corn here about next week or the end of next week anyway, and they're pretty optimistic on what they have. Of course, everything is irrigated in that area, but yeah, they're getting ready to go full blast on harvest.
It appears that there's no irrigation needed in the northern part of Illinois and parts of Wisconsin, maybe Iowa. They had another deluge again last night, and it's been ugly, I suppose. There are a couple of different times, wet and dry both.
Yeah, they probably need water pumps probably and tiling. We are definitely seeing a weather pattern that has given us a lot of extremes. I think there's still some areas that need to be filled in with some heavier rain to really, you know, put a good yield on the crop, or at least give this crop a chance to kind of recover from that 2 or 3 week period of dryness that we had here during the first part of July anyway. And the weather forecast at least gives us improved chances of some rain. I know, just looking at the July precip totals, I mean, it's quite obvious that, you know, central Illinois, central Indiana could use a good inch and a half of rain or so. Would help things out a lot. We're kind of on the drier side, I think, of the Corn Belt when you kind of look at overall total precip. But there's a lot of holes to be filled in. Whether or not they get filled in or not will be I will have a lot to say the direction of this market, I think, as we go into that August crop report.
Is the talk among the grain trade that there are enough growing degree days that have been available because of the heat to move up the harvest from what was expected to be a really late start?
Well, to a certain extent. Remember, growing degree days max out, so a lot of these high degree these mid-90s and that, you're not technically really growing anymore. You're actually putting the crop back under stress. But we're going to have some September corn, but it's not going to be that plentiful around. I mean, most of the early corn is going to be far south, like I said, the Mississippi, Tennessee area. You get into Kentucky, you're going to get into late plantings because they were so heavy. And then the far northern areas got a lot of corn planted. But the central part, it's going to be hard to find some corn around until you probably get closer to October. You know, I'm sure we're going to have some corn. But I don't know. I suppose you could say this heat's maybe accelerated it up a little bit, but planting dates are planting dates, and we've got a lot of late corn in the Corn Belt.
Yes, we've talked to some of the cash grain folks. They've told us that the basis has widened for corn. From your viewpoint, why has that happened?
Well, I mean, that tells you that the whole worry that we were worrying about, or the trade was worrying about maybe 3 months ago, 6 months ago, it looks like we're going to make it to the finish line. Of course, USDA came up and found those extra bushels that were missing back in March. I'm not too sure all of those bushels are there, but we've had a big wheat harvest. We've had a lot of substitution of wheat into feed rations. We've had a slowdown of demand here. Basically, people are just waiting for the new crop to come on board. So I think the wider basis basically tells you that the market feels like we're going to get through the finish line and the new crop of harvest is going to, you know, start coming in at us. So I think that's pretty much what the basis is telling you.
It will come at us, and we will get to the finish line. Will we be comfortable with the carryover by the time we get to the fall of next year?
Well, who next year is a long ways away. I think the market's more worried about the next 10 days or the next 20 days, especially when you look at all the outside market activity that could probably throw some 2x4s at us. But there's no doubt about it that we're headed for another year of generally tight supplies on corn and soybeans, provided demand doesn't totally fall apart. So I think when you look longer term, you know, the market could react very similar to what it did this year, begin to worry about raising a big crop next year. So I think we're going to go through the normal seasonal tendency of, you know, we'll have harvest pressure, harvest low, and then we'll climb out of our harvest low, and then we'll start worrying about the 2012 crop, and hopefully by then maybe the economic conditions are a little bit improved compared to where they're at today.
For the last two Thursdays when I've talked to you about the soybean market, we pointed to the triple top. It's now a quadruple top there. What do you make of it?
I'm still in the camp that we still have a shot at taking that out. I don't see, I mean, we're still in the upper half of that trading range that we had, basically 50 cents either side of 1350. I think short term here, though, the way the market is acting is that we're probably going to consolidate and maybe set back a little bit. Maybe that could go on into early part of next week, but I don't see any big moves to the downside yet. I think we got to get through the August crop report. We've got to see some acreage adjustments, and we've got to see some yield adjustments. So I'm still generally positive that beans have a decent shot at taking out that 1404 to 1410 area.
Any final word before I let you go?
I think that's about it. Just keep an eye on outside market activities. I think if the dollar, the technical action of the dollar looks like it's vulnerable to a major collapse in here, and if we would see a major collapse, I think that would be quite friendly, the commodity complex.
Thank you so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois, and joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. You can find us online at willag.org, willag.org. A couple of things to put on your calendar for the month of August. Illinois State Fair, Indiana State Fair. Ag Day at Illinois State Fair is the 16th of August. That's a Tuesday. And that evening, of course, will be the great big auction of champions. Be sure that you plan to be in Springfield for that one. And then be here in Champaign on Thursday, the 18th of August, for Agronomy Day. We kick off that event at 7 a.m. in the morning and run through 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll be there all morning directing the traffic into the research fields, where you'll have the opportunity to chat with all the folks on campus that are doing research for the agricultural community. Agronomy Day is Thursday, August the 18th, Illinois State Fair Sale of Champions on the 16th. That's a Tuesday and Thursday coming up, not so long away from now. Put them on your calendar today. Now, up next, you know, the CME Group in Chicago has been toying with the idea of changing the daily trading limit for corn from 30 to 40 cents. I asked agricultural economist Scott Irwin whether this was a reasonable request earlier this week.
From an economic standpoint, it is a reasonable request. That will move the corn limits as a portion of the average price much more in line with the proportion in corn and soybeans and wheat. This is an issue of market volatility and how often do you want, in essence, the market to hit a limit? You know, and you would think that you would want that the frequency that you hit a limit to be roughly similar across markets. You would want to set those limits so that, let's say, on 3 or 4% of the days, you would hit a limit, and that would be sensible that you normalize across the volatility in a given market, wherever that's at.
Okay, so it makes sense to you. It's reasonable economically. What are the pitfalls of making a larger limit for corn?
Well, there's been tremendous pushback from the grain industry, as I understand it, particularly small and medium-sized firms, arguing that this will force them to increase their capital that they have devoted to their hedging operations. That's a little bit of a mystery to me, because if the markets are working as the way we economists think they work, and the evidence seems to show, if you hit a limit today because some big piece of information hits the market, like a USDA report or a surprise, as we've seen, then what a limit does is constrains the market from reaching full adjustment. The idea of kind of a cooling off period is what's the argument that's often made. But the evidence shows that the market will continue adjusting the next day, so that if you look over a 2-day period, you shouldn't need any more capital to fund your hedge operation before or after a change in limits, because the market's going to move to where it needs to move anyway. My perception is, in reading the comments, though, is that this part of the grain industry, Todd, doesn't think that the markets work this way. I think that they have a strong perception that the corn futures market has a tendency to overreact right now on a daily basis, that there's excess volatility. And therefore, if you expand the limits, they'll be more exposed to that excess volatility. That's the only way I can kind of reconcile why they're so opposed to this change.
Okay, so we deal with volatility in a way with crop insurance, and it's based off prices in Chicago. And so we should have a kind of a track record over quite a long time of what that volatility looks like. Is there more volatility in the marketplace than there once was?
There is clearly more volatility right now in 2011 than there even was in 2008 and 2009. The market is very volatile. But the question, the central issue is that volatility justified by the fundamentals? And or is there some kind of extra volatility that is constrained by price limits?
Can you measure that, or is that wholly subjective?
There have been studies. I haven't seen it with very recent data, that where people look at those kind of questions. In other words, once you hit the limit, does price have a tendency to reverse course, or does it tend to continue moving in the direction of the limit price move, which would be consistent with the idea that all you've done is taken a pause rather than a reversal. And the evidence is consistent with a pause.
Yeah, the evidence, and I think most people would agree that the evidence, if you trade every day or if you watch the markets every day, that it's just a pause in the trade and then it goes on. So in your mind, again, it's a reasonable step, a reasonable thing for the CFTC to approve and for CME Group to ask for.
Yes.
Okay.
And my understanding is, in communication with some of the CME staff, is that that they're, if they haven't already, they're going to propose that a formal system for making the limits variable in relationship to market volatility, so that if, in fact, based on some parameters, the market becomes less volatile, you know, the limits will be reduced again.
Yeah. So, and I've heard about that. So, but it would be a percent. So they might based on a percentage of price.
Exactly. It wouldn't surprise me if it's in the range of 4 or 5% of price.
And they would just make that blanket across the board. And this would be the first. This would be the first step to solve a problem, kind of the intermediate solution. And then they would.
And I actually think that's a good move, given the controversy, because then everybody would know exactly what the rules of the game are. In the sense that if I, you know the average price level roughly, then I can forecast what the limits will be.
That's University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin talking about the proposed change in the daily trading limit from 30 to 40 cents for corn. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois, is on the phone line. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Todd. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. So we've had some of this discussion about the change or proposed change in the limit from 30 to 40 cents for corn. You just heard an argument from our own University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin that the change shouldn't cause grain elevator operators to have on hand more capital for their hedging requirements than they have in the past, because 2 days worth of capital should be on hand probably anyway. Would you argue with him?
Well, I guess I'm sitting in a little different shoes right now than I was a couple years ago when we our family owned the grain business. I'd probably be arguing more vehemently against it. I think it puts guys in a small grain elevator situation in a tough spot. I would argue with him just simply because you're talking 33% more, you know, the 30 to 40 cent move. And, you know, as far as having capital requirements on hand, if you've got 2 million bushels hedged, you're talking several dollars, let alone 10 or 20 or 30 million.
All right. So turn your attention then back to the marketplace and the cash grain market. Have your bids again widened out for corn this week?
Just a little bit. Actually, the basis softened just a hair. You know, there's still areas that are really pushing for corn that are looking forward, you know, into the August time frame, wondering when harvest is actually going to get going regionally. You know, there's harvest going on in the U.S. right now, but as far as, you know, some of the areas that maybe sometimes get to harvest a little bit early, wondering if we're going to get that done. So if we're not, you know, I think regionally we're going to have some awfully good basis levels, and that's being foretold right now just by simply by some of those guys still paying up a little bit.
Take a look outside the window there. Tell me how your crops are.
Thirsty as can be. I mean, they didn't get a whole lot of rain this past weekend. In certain areas, guys got some rain, but for the most part, most people down here, you know, south of, even south of I-80, there's a lot of places in Illinois that are awfully dry. And so, you know, I think in our area, we really haven't had measurable rain since the 1st of July, maybe, you know, a half inch total in some places. So it's just awfully dry.
I know that will still be causing some suffering in the field. Have you been out to take a look and see what the heat those last 3 weeks has done to the crops?
Yes, we have. It's kind of tough to tell so far. It looks like we got through pollination for the most part okay, but now, you know, we're awfully worried about kernel depth.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn will be 712 and fall 659. Cash beans 1370 and fall beans will be 1336.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes on most of these radio stations with a look at the agricultural weather forecast. We'll talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt. You can hear that if you want at willag.org.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Milk Chocolate Day, as well as National Cheesecake Day and National Drive-Thru Day. By the way, drive-thru service initially became popular in the restaurant industry in the late 1940s. In-N-Out Burger claims to have built the first drive-thru restaurant in 1948. On this day in agricultural history in 1586, it's claimed that the potato was introduced to England by Sir Thomas Harriot. In 1852, Andrew Jackson Downing died, an American horticulturalist. He was author of The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America. In 1866, the metric system was authorized to standardize weights and measures in the U.S. In 1900, one of the many claims to the origin of the hamburger is that Louis Lessing first served hamburgers on a bun in his diner in New Haven, Connecticut. And in 1907, Earl S. Tupper was born. In the 1930s, Tupper invented a flexible, lightweight material that was used to make plastic gas masks during World War II. After the war, he turned his attention to consumer products, and Tupperware was born. At first, the food storage containers were a flop, but sales ignited with the introduction of the Tupperware party. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, on the phone line with us. Pete, can you take me through northern Illinois and the deluge that they had in the last 24 hours and what that looks like as compared to the previous one over the weekend?
Well, actually, they're quite similar events. The one over the weekend was more of a frontal system, and we saw amounts up in the Chicago metro area, then up to 7 inches. And then we had this other system, which is more aligned in a west-southwest to east-northeast orientation along a front, and that brought more widespread rain mostly from about I-74 northward, but really in the northern portion of the state, where, again, we saw amounts getting up into the 2 to 4 inch range in some spots and a few isolated heavier amounts of real unloading up there.
And what causes that issue?
Well, we have a frontal system, a boundary between cooler air, a little bit cooler air, and very warm and very humid air to the south. And as that humidity spreads northward over this front, the air rises, and all of that moisture in those high humidities with dew points well up in the 70s in central and southern Illinois, for example, that all gets squeezed out as the air rises, and it just unloads along and north of this frontal zone, and that's where it happens, and that's where these heavy downpours occur. And in this case, we're looking at another day of heavy showers from maybe southern Iowa across northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, through Michigan, and into the lower Great Lakes region in the next 24 hours. The front remains there. The air very humid to the south, and so these systems are going to break out along that front. We're finally going to see them start to diminish, the front shifting southward just a bit, but we still have rain this time from northern Missouri through central Illinois on Friday to Saturday, and then toward the weekend, the showers will become more isolated.
And so those parts of central Illinois, southern Illinois, parts of Indiana that have not seen much rainfall or any at all, will they actually see some precipitation by the time we get through the weekend, or you think that's a false calling because we've seen that in the forecast?
I don't think it's going to come to the southern edge of the state. I doubt whether it'll get even down to the I-70 area down in there and across Indiana and Ohio. They're going to be too far south with this system, and they're going to get shortchanged on all of this precipitation. We're going to see continued dry weather there. What we are going to have is very warm and muggy nights, and this, as we've mentioned here before, is one of the characteristics which is detrimental to corn, because there's a crop that needs cool evenings and nighttime hours so it can charge its batteries, so to speak. It doesn't have to pump moisture all night long to maintain its temperature in viable ranges. So unable to relax from the cooler air, it works all night, runs out of energy, and the filling of the crop is going to be much spottier, I think, than people are expecting.
Thanks much, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good day, folks.